Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. Prophetess Crystal is on her way into the studio as I speak. And we're just excited about what God is doing. Listen, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We are looking forward to the things that God is doing for us and with us, and we know that God has something special in store for you. If you haven't been paying attention as of late, you might not have known that God has blessed us with a new location. And we are working and putting things together and getting it all, you know, squared away. Amen. As we are preparing to go into the video, the live streaming broadcast, and those other things that God has called us to, I'm excited because it is a step forward into the things of God. And I know that as we move forward, it's going to be a blessing to all of you. Amen? Amen. In the way of announcements, tune in every Tuesday and every Saturday. Amen. And our times have changed here as well. Every Tuesday night and every Saturday morning, Tuesday at 7 p.m., Saturday at 10:30 a.m. for Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast. On Thursday night, tune in for the Prophetic Atmosphere broadcast with Prophetess Crystal McQueen. And on Sunday morning at 9 a.m., amen, we want you to tune in for our morning worship. Now, several things will be changing as far as time and schedule and the like, but those of you who have been with us for any amount of time, then you know that Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday morning were our standard times. We're just adding in the Sunday. Amen. And we're looking forward to ministering with you, ministering to you, and celebrating Jesus Christ with you as we continue looking forward into the things of God and the things that God has called us to. We're excited because we have new people who have come in, new vision partners, those who are standing with us in the faith, in the ministry, to do things that God has called us to do. And we want to just say we're grateful for them, and we're grateful for the work that God has given us to do. Now, for those of you who have a desire to be part of the ministry and a part of what we're doing, to help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world, we have churches, ministries, schools, orphanages in Kenya, Uganda, Nigeria, in Pakistan, and those who reach out to us in India. I pray that you become a vision partner with us. To do so, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you learn more about us. You see the people that we actually work with, those that are on the website. As we're remodeling and redoing the website, we still have the current one up, but there's a lot of information there where you can get in touch with us and find out more about us. On a contact us page, you'll find midway down, you'll see information, engagements, and prayer. If you have an event, or if you would like for Prophetess Crystal or myself to come to where you are and minister with you all, it will be at one of your programs or anything like that, drop us a line, let us know. If you have a prayer request, that's the place where you send your prayer request in, and we are praying over the prayer request. Amen. If you have just want to drop us a line to let us know, or drop us an email and let us know what God has done or what God is doing in your life, that's the place to go ahead and do that. And I encourage you to do that. One other place where you can go, and that is to our Facebook page. We do have a Facebook page. You can find us under Christ the King Redemptive Ministries or Woman of Prophetic Destiny, also WOPD for Woman of Prophetic Destiny. Go there, drop us a line, like the page, you know, give us a shout out in the testimony. Let us know what God has done for you and what God is doing with you. Amen. We're looking forward to hearing from you. It is those testimonies that keep us encouraged and keep us going. Amen. And we're looking forward to ministering and doing more as God has given us the ability to do so. Now, let's go ahead and get into prayer, and then we're going to get into this word. Let's pray right now. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you and I praise you, and we just appreciate all that you've done for us and all that you've given us. Lord, we thank you because out of everyone in the world that you could have used, you chose us. You're using us. You're blessing us. So, Lord, we just say thank you. We say thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done. We say thank you, Lord, for everything that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, because you have kept us. We thank you, Lord, because you have been mindful of us. Now, Lord, even now, we pray for those, Lord, who will listen to this broadcast, those who will come in and begin to minister with us and pray with us and celebrate with us, and those who will come in and be focused with us on the things of God. Thank you, Lord, for the kingdom lifestyle. Thank you, Lord, for manifestation. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to go forward and to look at the things that lead to holiness. Lord, I thank you and I praise you. Now, Lord, even now, I pray and ask that you would help us, Lord, with this word. Help us to minister this gospel. Help us, Lord, to share a word or to say a word, Lord, that will cause someone to have a life-changing experience in the name of Jesus. And we pray, praise you, and we thank you, and we bless your name. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Now, we're so grateful, as I said, for the word of God and for everything that he's done for us. And too often, as we begin to look at this, too often we get into trouble. We get into trouble for this one reason. We do so much without giving him not an ounce, not a thought of praise. And God is trying to get us to a place where we're thinking and we're thanking him. Amen. As we do so, then he can get the glory out of our lives. He can't get the glory out of us if we're doing a whole lot of extra. Amen. But we're not really praying and praising him, focused on him. We've been dealing with and talking about it's time to build. And as we get into, God bless Prophetess Crystal, who's finally coming in. Amen. God bless you, Prophetess.
God bless y'all.
Amen. We've been talking about it's time to build, and we've dealt with a number of things as it relates to that. When you look at building, you have to look at building material. You have to look at the purpose of the building. You have to look at the plan. You have to look at the resources. You have to look at placement of the building. Amen?
Amen.
So what is it then that God is building in us, through us, for us? And it is the answering that question leads us into the place where we need to be at. Amen. Tonight. And that simply is, when we started talking on our last broadcast, we talked about building of the tabernacle, the temporary dwelling place. Now, I want you to know that there's time, season, where you go into temporary situations. Over the past number of years, Prophetess and I have dealt with several different ministries, and they weren't for long term. They were for temporary times. Amen. And we went in and we did what the Lord gave us assignment to do. And once the assignment was done, then we left from that location to go to the next assignment that he tasked us with. Amen. In doing so, we found that we progressed and we moved, and some things were revealed to us. And how many of you know that God will allow you to go into some situation and deal with some things, not just so that you can say that you've been through it, but so that he can demonstrate his power and his grace and his mercy in that situation.
Yes.
We have learned some things to do, amen, and we have seen and learned some things that we would never, ever do, amen. It's those situations that we've gone into and those events and those avenues that we were led into that taught us the lessons of how we need to respond and why we need to respond in a certain manner. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the thing is when you're dealing with the enemy, you're dealing with the enemy of your soul, he'll tell you that you don't have to do things a certain way, or you don't have to do it that way, or you don't have to, if it was me, you know, I don't see how. Well, listen, after all is said and done, thank God for the experience. It is the experience, amen, that teaches us the lessons, amen, that we need to know, amen, to go forward. Thank God he thought enough of me to make sure that I had clear understanding of his power and of his word, amen. That way we're not overcome. We don't succumb to the tricks of the enemy, amen.
Right, right, right.
But we can clearly see what it is that God has for us.
Amen.
So there are temporary dwelling places where we actually go into. But while you're going into those temporary places, you'll find that God enriches you, or he increases you. Amen.
Amen.
Your increase is not for the temporary place. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
It is for the purpose that he set. Amen. We looked in Exodus, the 35th chapter, starting at the 21st. Here we find that Moses is talking to the people. God has given directive of what he wants and how they should build. And as he begins to deal with what God wants and how they should build, he asks the people to give at God's command. And as Moses asked them, the people begin to respond. Amen. And why did they respond? because they had seen the hand of God. They had seen the move of God, amen, to the point where they were willing to invest in God.
Amen.
Amen. So what we have then is we have people now who are, they are takers more than they're givers. They don't do for God. They do for themselves, and then they hand out to God. God, I don't have nothing to give you, but, you know, any moment, any time, you know, you have the new clothes, the new hairstyle, your feet done, your hair done, your wardrobe looks good, you eating well, amen, all of that, but yet and still, when you come back to the Lord, Lord, I don't have nothing. Well, yeah, you have plenty. You love yourself more than you love God, because you take what you have and you spend it on yourself. Amen?
Yeah.
And you have to understand that what God gives you, he gives you so that you can be a blessing. Amen?
Yeah.
Huh? Abram, through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed.
Yes, yes.
Huh? We go back into Deuteronomy. We can deal with the fact that the purpose of blessing the children of God was so that all the families of the earth could be blessed, amen, through those who are blessed. But what happens is when you begin to do it for yourself and you make excuses for God, God allows you but so long until God says, enough, take care of your own thing. Now, when you cry out to him, he is far from you, huh? In your mouth, you say, Lord, Lord, but your heart, your mind, everything else is far away from him, amen? So you stay in the wilderness instead of coming through a wilderness, amen? As we look at Numbers, the 14th chapter, the 15th chapter, the 16th chapter, we see a lot of murmuring and complaining. People who are in the middle of a temporary place who got comfortable with it. Huh? They were never meant to become permanent there.
Right.
The tabernacle here that we're talking about building is not a permanent place. It is a temporary dwelling place.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it temporary? It's temporary because this is not where God has you to establish yourself. It is the place where God is going to come and dwell among you while he's moving or transitioning you into the permanent place that he's going to have for you. Amen?
Amen.
Don't get comfortable in your wilderness that you stop progressing towards your promise.
Amen.
Let me say that again. Don't get comfortable in your wilderness that you stop progressing towards your promise. See, manna was in the wilderness. Huh? They had quail that fell from the sky, manna that they just had to go outside and gather in the baskets. And I think it's that prophetess, sometimes it has been done for us and given to us so much that we just want to keep going outside and gathering and picking up the quail. Huh? We get thirsty. That rock that's back there, can somebody go over there and touch the rock so I can get a drink?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, see, there's a point in time, and you preached this message before, there's a point in time where the manna ceased. The quail didn't fall anymore. Huh? Now, they're at a place where they have to go out and sow seed. They have to go out and hunt. They have to go out and do what they have to do in order for them to survive. Because the time of you being carried, the time of you being fed, the time of you just showing up and getting has passed. The wilderness experience is over. The temporary is done. Amen? Now, when you go to the next place, you'll get to a temple, which is the permanent dwelling place. Amen? And we'll get into that in a minute. But let me finish up here. With this temporary, Moses asked the people to give a God's command. The people bring the freewill offering for the building of the tabernacle. That's Exodus 35 and 20. We take that all the way to 36 and 6. And look at what the people did. The people gave the best of their plunder. What plunder? Well, when God brought them out of Egypt, He made sure that they didn't come out empty-handed.
Yeah.
My question is, when the Lord blessed you, when the Lord showed favor upon you, did you think that was just so that you could have favor and that he could just bless you? Or did you understand that when he blessed you, that there would be a time where he would ask you for what he blessed you? See, you have to understand, when we fall in love, that's the word I want to use, with the gift and not the giver, we'll keep seeking more gifts. Huh? Let me take this back to younger years. When I was young and I liked the girl, then I would buy her little different things. Y'all remember at school when Sweetest Day is up north. But let's just make it Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day, they had the white carnation, they had the pink carnation or the yellow one, and then they had the red one. Huh? And you know, you tried to get a carnation, and there was about third hour, they would take it around to everybody's, you know, room and pass them out. So everyone was trying to see who got what and who it came from. And, you know, lumped in my throat, put my name on a card, and paid my dollar for a carnation that goes to somebody's classroom, hoping that, you know, nobody would say something about me. Oh, I remember doing that many a time. You know, well, you got somebody to respond. Now you see them in the lunchroom and they want you to buy them chips and they want you to buy them ice cream and they want you to buy them. And you sitting there just spending money, you know, just smiling because she let me buy her. Okay, see, that type of relationship right there, as we understand now, is superficial.
Right.
All right? It's predicated upon, if you buy me something, I'll be your friend.
Yeah.
But it's not really built up on fostering a relationship. You understand?
True.
And some of you are Christians based on that same premise. Huh? With the people get the best of the plunder. You got the plunder. You got your time, talent, and wisdom, but you won't give none of it to God. You still waiting on him to buy you some more ice cream. You waiting on him to buy you another car. You waiting on him to buy you a teddy bear. See, that level of care and love can't build firm, strong relationship.
Amen?
Huh? So when God gives you the ability to do this, he's looking for you to reciprocate the same back. If God gave you much, then he's looking for much back to you, from you. Amen? The Bible says it simply, to whom much is given, much is required. So you're asking God for much, but you don't want anything required of you. The devil is a liar. Amen? Huh? Because the enemy will have you think that when God asks you for something, he's being selfish. But you never look at the fact that he gave you strength, favor, opportunity, ability, wherewithal. Do I need to keep going on? Huh? You know that your grade, your GPA did not, background and everything else didn't merit that job at that level you got into. And God smiled upon you. And here you are working that job. Now the Lord asked you to do something and you trying to tell him, hold on. If it hadn't been for him, you wouldn't have that. Because nothing about you said you qualified for the car you driving. You know good and well you couldn't afford a car that you had to hold together with duct tape. Your credit that bad, huh? Mm-hmm. And yet and still you driving a brand new something that you pulled off the lot with little miles on it and God made sure that you look good while you doing it. Mm-hmm. And yet and still he asked you to come into his presence and you got every excuse why you didn't feel like, I don't want, you know, that's a lot of gas to be. Hold on. Really? See, we get stuck in our temporary place because we forget that what God gave us, he's going to require back from us.
Mm-hmm.
And he don't want your hand-me-down. He wants the best. The people here, when they left out of Egypt, amen, they got the best from those people there. They spoiled Egypt when they left. Amen?
Amen.
Huh? So when they got here in the wilderness and the Lord asked from them, what they had was the best.
Yeah.
And they gave the best. Amen? Every time an enemy came to attack them and God gave them a victory, they went out and carried in the spoils from a victory that they didn't even fight a battle to win. See, when God does that for you, some of you think that because you were slick and y'all just don't know, y'all need to be watching out for me. Woo-hoo! You should know. Wait a minute. Hold on. Step back. Take a breath. And recognize and realize if it hadn't been for the Lord on your side, you would have succumbed to that last one there. That last event would have took you clean out of here, huh? But God kept you. His hand of mercy was extended towards you. He put a hedge of protection around you. When God comes to you and asks you for something, you should be happy to do what you can because he didn't stop when you wasn't thinking about him. Thank God he didn't cut me off when I should have been cut off. Thank God he didn't take me out when I should have been taken out. Huh? But he gave me an opportunity. So this is my opportunity to give him the best like he gave me the best. What would you do if Jesus just went up there and pricked his finger and squeezed a little blood out and let it fall on the ground and said, that's all y'all need. That'll suffice. Then that means that you would still need to be beat and whipped and go through the passion. But he took all of that. Everything that should have happened to you, he allowed it to happen to him. So he gave you the best, which was himself. God gave you the best, which was his son.
Yes, sir.
Huh? How can you not give him your best? Huh? How can you not give him your all? The people gave here give the best of their plunder, their time, their talent, their wisdom. The gifts were of the best that they had to offer. And look at who came out. The best workers. The best craftsmen. Well, I can't put all that together. Well, can anybody beat you working? Listen, you ain't going to beat me working, and you ain't going to beat me with my skill. I'm going to do everything I can. Huh? The best supplies. They didn't just come and, I got a couple of things left over here. Huh? Wouldn't it be terrible if we just went to everybody's house and they just gave us their leftover paint, and we tried to mix it together so we could paint the sanctuary so that it would have some color in there? Wouldn't that be an awful color with all kind of mismatch everything? How about we give God the best? Amen? Huh? Best supplies. Best talents and skills were displayed.
Yeah.
Huh? You see that? Well, I'll do the best I can. I love the fact that there are some people out there who understand that they're older and they can't bend over and carry and do a lot, but they do have resources where they can direct. He called the young because they were strong. He called the old because they were wise. Amen. Sometimes we need some wisdom in the place. Amen. So we're not running over and bumping our heads and messing up and wasting resources from when somebody in there has the wisdom to know better. Amen.
That's true.
Amen.
That's true.
So they gave the best of what they had. The free will offering was asked out of what God had given the people favor to receive. You see that? So the supplies were given from the children of Israel plunder. And look at how he did it. God gave them instruction to get the plunder from Egypt before they left in the Exodus. Exodus 3:21-22, and you see how they carried it out in Exodus 11, the second verse through the third verse. Now, this is it. God gave them favor to get the plunder before they came out of Egypt. So when they spoke to the people and every woman borrowed from her neighbor, they was like, here, take whatever you want. Take all of it. It's all good. They spoiled them. And this is an interesting thing. You have to understand the word spoiled means I defeat you in battle. You are subject to me or subjugated to me. And I take your goods as my own as a way of showing my superiority over you. But in this right here, God gives them favor. So as they ask, without fighting a battle, they still get all the goods. You see that?
Amen.
Ain't that interesting? That God is giving people favor before you can go and petition, before you can go and ask, before you can go argue your point and get your argument together. Before you have any of that, God has already given you a yes.
I love it.
You see that? All you have to do is show up and ask. Huh? The Bible says you have not because you ask not. I was speaking to one of our members and I was saying, listen, these are the things that you're going to have to do and that we need to make sure we come up to. And as I was speaking, I asked about different ones. And the response was, that's a little much. But you got to remember, there are people who dedicate greatly because they understand what God has given them and what God has done for them. This is no sweat off their back, or, you know, this is nothing to them. They'll do this because they were sitting there twiddling their thumbs otherwise. Amen? And they understand that as they sow into kingdom work, God sows into their natural work. So their ability to be sustained, sustainability, amen, that's the word I'm looking for, is predicated upon them serving and giving God as much as they can give. So the thing is if you don't ask, they don't have an opportunity to give. You have not because you ask not, amen? And as you ask, then God, just like here, when they ask their neighbors, each one of them for gold and for all kind of silver and other things, the people were already prepared to give because God has already touched their hearts. Amen. We got to get past thinking for God and start being obedient to just do what God is asking us. You never know where your blessing is actually laid. Amen. And sometimes we outthink God. And that's not wisdom, is it? No. Because your mind can't fathom what he thinks. Mm-hmm. You don't know the plan like he knows it. Amen? So when God says, I want you to go say, God loves you to that person standing over there, we talk ourselves out of that. Ooh, I don't know them. I don't know what they're going to do. If I go say, I don't know, they might just, you don't say nothing. The Holy Spirit has already prepared that heart to receive those words. And that's all they needed to hear in order for them to have a paradigm shift. They would have got saved. They would have moved on. They would have done what they needed to do. Because you're looking at from this angle, based on what you see, you thinking that it's really about you. But it's not about you in your interaction. Your part of that is your obedience to what God is giving you to do. Yeah. Their part is responding to what the Spirit has said to them and what he's moving upon them. So when you have your faith and your obedience touch one who is receptive to the word and the will of God, what we see is a movement. Yeah. That's how miracles, signs, and wonders happen. It don't just pop out of any place. There has to be movement. I wish I had time to go into all of that. But you have to understand, there are times when Jesus would do the work, and there was times when Jesus would say, be it unto you according to your faith. Because you have to attach something to this in order for there to be a manifestation of a miracle.
Well,
you're not seeing it because you're going in doubt instead of faith. We got to move in faith. So here God gave them favor. Amen. And then I left off here, and I'm going to pick this up right here. God gave them strength to carry the plunder. In Psalms 105 and 37, it shows that when they came out of Egypt, they came out and not a feeble one was among them. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, when God brings you out and he brings you out with favor, he brings you out with strength. Mm-hmm. See, all while you was there in your place of enslavement, while you were there in your Egypt experience, amen, you did not have strength but to do what was commanded of you, what the taskmaster put upon you. But when you come out, God gives you more strength than what you had while you was in there enduring that hardship and affliction. See? They came out, and not a feeble one was among them. So every excuse that we have for why we can't do, and what we can't do, and what we never been able to do, and how it's never worked, and how we didn't know. Yeah. What was the word that God gave prophetess?
As far as?
You say, he said, go back, and even if you tried it before,
try it again.
That's it. And when he said, try it again, he said, listen, before when you tried it, it was in your strength. But now I have breathed upon it. I've spoken it. Huh? Now you need to do it again. Because now when you move, you'll move with my word. You'll move with my authority. Yeah. You'll move with an anointing on you. And you'll do greater than you ever thought you could do in your own strength. You shall have great success. Amen? Here we look at the end of this, the people, after they were asked to give and they begin to respond to the request, Exodus 36, 5, the 5th verse through the 6th verse, we see that the people gave so much that the workmen had to come and tell them, hey, we got too much stuff. Please tell the people to stop giving. Tell them to stop bringing all of this. We can't do nothing with it. My brothers and sisters, I'm looking for the day when we have the ability to actually say that. I'll wait. See, in your heart and mind, and in mine as well, I know that there are people, as soon as it starts coming in, we have seen people who were sold out to God. Dedicated. Yes, you could sir. They preached holiness or hell, and they wasn't biting their tongue and they wasn't batting their eye while they did it. And when the resources started coming in and different people started showing up, they started changing the message to be a little bit more user friendly so more people were coming and give. Okay, more people came in and give and the gospel began to change. And God right now is looking for those who will stand up and preach an unadulterated gospel. I thank God that I'm not popular. Let me say it like this. Because I don't have to worry about holding up a popularity I don't got. I thank God that I'm not one of these that's out here and I'm liked by everybody to the point where I have to keep my my level up so people will keep liking me. Because at this point of the game, if God says spit in somebody's face, you best believe I got to find out how to do that. Why? Is it because I'm trying to actually offend them? Or is it because I'm trying to be totally obedient to God? Mm-hmm. Lord, please don't have me spit in nobody's face. I don't know how that's going to go over. I'm just saying. We put apprehension before God. I don't know how they would have dealt with Jesus when he took that deaf and that mute man out. And he put his fingers in his ear and then spat, touched his tongue. He spat in the man's face.
He did.
How did that work? And yet and still, you don't see the man got upset. He wasn't trying to jump on Jesus or do anything else. He could freely speak. You saying right now in your own flesh, your carnalness, you saying, if he spit on me, I bet I could speak too. I got some choice words because that ain't no God. That's why you need to read the Bible. Can you really be submitted to God when you got to go through a heartache? If you would have told me back, if I would have known back in 2008 what I would have went through these past couple of years, Lord Jesus, I don't know See, he didn't tell me. He just told me, be strong. Joshua, be strong and be of good courage. Amen. He kept saying, Joshua, be strong and be of good courage. He kept sending encouragement. And then he told me I was about to go do something, but he didn't tell me the level. Amen. See, when we talk about people going through and how they've gone through, anointings cost. Amen. And when you have an anointing on your life that God has given you, then you don't have a problem with anything that he says. You're going to do whatever you can do. The reason why you have, some of you have apprehension is because even though you know that God can do, you haven't gone through that situation yet. What's that situation? It's that situation that causes you to have to depend solely on God for your next breath. I didn't say for your food. I didn't say for your life or anything. I said for your next breath. Huh? Can you still trust in God when you're going through a Potiphar's wife situation? Can you still trust in God when you're thrown in a ditch? Can you still trust in God when you're being when you're facing the fiery furnace and everyone that's with you is facing the same? Can you, with Nebuchadnezzar and his mighty men grabbing hold of you and tying you up, can you still say, in God I trust? See, when you go through those situations, you come out with a knowledge of him that nobody can shake at all. You, whatever he says, you're willing and you're ready to do it. Amen? So when we look at this, we see that the people here, because they have gone through so much. They love God. They come out of the wilderness, or they come out of the out of Egypt. They come through the hardship. Now he's asking for something from them, and they have no problem giving him what he wants, to the point where the people were restrained from giving because of the outpouring of the people's heart. Their gifts and resources for what? Towards the task of building. I said something before. I said if I'm asking you for $100 and I don't tell you what it's for, you have to trust that I'm going to use it for something good. But if I come and say that I need an electrician to donate your services to us so that we can get some track lighting, and we need some painters to come in and paint, and we need somebody to actually donate to the church the paint and the lighting and the other stuff that we need. We're going to build in an office and a control room for the studio, and it's going to cost this much for the material, and we need somebody to help us do that. You know, those who love the work will come in and do that. Amen. Because God has given them the ability to do it. We see this in Habitat for Humanity and other humanitarian, philanthropy. Does this. Philanthropists will do this real quick because they understand the power in giving. Yeah. The more that they give, they seem to get. Amen. So they give and they do everything as they can, but you have to have something for them to focus on.
True.
In this, the people were restrained because of the outpouring of their hearts. You know, the gifts they had, the resources, to the task of building. Huh? And I got 3 points that I'm going to make here, and we're going to call it a day for tonight. Amen. Point number one is when you really in love with God and his word, you will give until you see the fulfillment of the vision that God gave the leadership. That's powerful. Prophetess and I have been part of many ministries, and there were times when we were in Southfield, Michigan, or Detroit, or wherever we were, Toledo, Ohio, or other places, and they said, listen, we have a need, and we need to raise X amount of dollars at this point, and we need to do it, And the Lord said, get up and get $500. And I looked at my wife, and my wife looked at me, and I said, let's write the check. And we wrote the check, and we stood together, and we sold it into the ministry. There's times when I think we've written up to $1,000 or so. You know, we've written some pretty hefty checks, amen, and given a lot of money in doing what needs to be done. Because we understand that kingdom ministry and kingdom expansion takes finance. People live in this make-believe world where, you know, God is just going to open up the heavens and pour out the rent, the lease, the electric bill, the money for the van, the insurance money for that, all the gas money that's needed, the maintenance for that, and as well as the salaries for the church secretary, the pastor, others who are on. You see, that's not realistic because it doesn't happen in the business world like that. You see? But when we're dealing with ministry, people think that it's just going to happen. What God does is he blesses his people so that they can have an abundance so that they can give. Now, let me just share something with you, and I had to catch hold of this and get the revelation. We didn't give like that until we understood what it actually did. Amen? And I found that whenever I gave greatly, God blessed me greater. Yep. You hear the saying, you can't be God-given?
It's the truth.
You really cannot be God-given. Huh? We have, cars and stuff that I was going to go buy myself, but the church needed a van or something like that, and we just went and got the van instead. I drove the van around and shouted and thanked God, and God just opened up the doors and gave us favor and kept stuff running and moving and everything else. You never know. God will bless you when you allow him to use you. But how could you do that? We did that because we're really in love with the work. We're really in love with God. You understand? And when you're really in love with God and his work, you'll give until you see the fulfillment of the vision that God has given the leadership. That's not something that you have to even worry about. When God says, listen, we're going to do X, Y, and Z, your thing is, I love God so much that I want to see this come to pass. I know it's going to be a blessing to many in the kingdom of God. I know it's going to be a blessing, and it's going to make the work of the leadership easier because this is one less thing that they have to worry about or fuss with. So I'm going to do what I can to make sure it comes to pass. I'm talking to friends, neighbor, family, anybody else. I'm going to call people that I don't know. I'm just, you know, when people have a fire under them for something, they'll talk to everybody. Amen? And some of you, you need to either start a fire, get a fire, or just be fired. Amen? It needs to work. Amen? Huh? Number two, if you love God, then you'll trust him. Huh? With your gift. Remember this. You're giving to God, not to a man. Now, let me help you here. Because although you give to, you put your money in the offering, you put your money in the man and woman of God's hand and say, I just want to be a blessing to the ministry. I want to help y'all with what you're doing. Even though you have an attachment or you have a transaction with a person, you're not given to a person. You are giving to the kingdom of God. You're giving to God. Amen. There's something that we have on our website, and I just want to share that with you right quick because I think too often what happens is We talk to people, amen, and as we talk to them, you know, people sort of miss this. Couple of scriptures here that we have, and one of them is Proverbs 19:17. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord.
Yep.
And that which he has given, he will repay him. That means that when you look at the need, and the poor part of that means that they don't have the ability to meet the need themselves. When you see them and you give to them, then you're actually lending to the Lord.
True.
That's what the scripture says here. Amen. It says, and that which he has given, he will repay. Amen. Now, let's give you another one. Proverbs, and I love Proverbs because Proverbs is the book of wisdom. Amen. This is where we get a lot of our wisdom out of the word of God. Amen. It says here, Proverbs 28:27 in the Message Bible, it says, be generous to the poor. You'll never go hungry. Huh? But let's keep reading. Shut your eyes to their needs and run a gauntlet of curses. In other words, when you give to God, and when you are generous, when you give to the poor and you're generous in your giving for what is needed, then you loan to God and God repays you. And he'll make sure you never go hungry. But when you act like, you know what, they need to just find a way. Somebody, I ain't doing, okay. At the point you do that, God sends along those things that would take your money. I remember one time we were supposed to give, and I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I decided not to do it. We started driving home. We was in my black pickup truck, my Dodge Ram quad cab, and I remember my tire blew, and what I would have gave, I paid multiples in that repairing that tire and the damage that it did. Wouldn't it have been better to have just given what the Lord asked for than to repair and have it taken from me plus interest, if you look at it that way? It costs more to not give than it costs if I would have just gave. And if I would have gave, I would have had favor. We would have never had that issue with the tire blowing. Huh? I thank God that he kept us many times. We learned how to give because we saw the benefit in it. Amen. And we trust him. So even though there's places we have been and we have people who have taken our kindness as weakness or tried to misuse or tried to use the anointing that's on our lives, and God has always covered us because we were never given to man. We were always given to God. Amen. The blessing is always come back because we trust him. So we love God and we love his word and we trust him with our gift. Number three, you prove your love when you can give without restraint to the building of God's house. Oh, what are you talking about, man of God? Well, let me just read this to you. I want you to see it. Amen. Amen. Can we do me a favor and get that Luke 12:34, amen. I'm gonna get Matthew 6:21 here, amen. There we go, Matthew 6:21. Now let me get some glasses so I can actually read it, amen. Here, you read that for me, Matthew 6:21.
Okay.
All right,
amen.
Amen. I mean. I was looking at it. I was just looking at my glasses. And in the same, here you go. I got them. Yeah, I got it. Here you get the other one. Amen. Matthew 6:21. And it says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, let me back up to the 19th verse, because that's where I like to really go. Okay, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Let's see. Do not lay up treasures for yourself on earth where the moth and the rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasure amen, in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. 21st verse, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What does it say there, Luke 12 and 34?
For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
That's right. So you see that he's saying this, and he's trying to reiterate it as we look here in the Synoptic Gospels. You see the statement of it. Amen. The enemy would love to have you believe that your treasure is in heaven while you're wearing it down here on earth.
Yeah.
But you ain't caring about what's going on with God's house.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't caring about what's going on with your house. You know that you are the temple of the Most High God. He indwells you. Amen?
Yes,
so you're doing everything to look good, but you're not doing everything to be good. And God is trying to get you to come off of being just one who says it or one who tries to look it a certain way. He's trying to get you to be it. Stop talking about the church and become the church. Stop talking about the kingdom of God and become the kingdom. Stop talking about the children of God and be his children. There are levels that we got to come up to. And we'll know that you have arrived when you have a love for what God is doing, what God called us to. Huh? When you put restraints on God, you can buy rims, do your car,
yeah.
You show up every movie that come out you at, every new restaurant that opens you at the opening, you don't even care. You just want the experience to tell everybody you've been to it. You know, you set up things for you and those around you, and but then when it comes to God, you don't have anything. Who are you really trying to,
right.
You know, you have to ask yourself those questions. Lord, help me. I remember growing up as we come to the last part of this. I remember coming up and we were taught all week long, take some time and put something aside so you have something to give God. That way, when it's time for you to sow and give, you actually have something that you put time, energy, thought, and effort into. If you're dependent on your bank account to be right, when you get to that point, you'll always have a lack of gift. Amen? So when you go to McDonald's, instead of buying your normal, go to the dollar menu, save a couple of those dollars, put them aside so that you can give something to God. You'll still eat, but you'll still have something to give. Amen? When you're thinking about going out and doing the extra stuff, instead of going to Cold Stones, why don't you just go buy you some Breyers? It'll save you about $7, $8, $10. Amen? And then you have something to give to God. Take some time and focus on your love for him and the work. Amen? Come on, let's pray. Well, Prophetess, why don't you close us out?
Amen. This prayer is powerful said. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we thank you for this word. We thank you for your truth. God, we thank you for your wisdom. And I'm asking now, Father, in the precious name of Jesus, that this wisdom, this knowledge will begin to shake us. God, I'm asking that you would just begin to remove the cobwebs, remove the scales off of our eyes, cause our hearts to beat for you. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, give us a cry after your heart. Give us a heart for your people and your leadership and those that are willing to fulfill the assignment that is on our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For those of you who are not saved, please pray this prayer. Father, I'm a sinner. Forgive me for all my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I'll serve you all my days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Listen, if you prayed that, I pray that the Lord leads you to a Bible teaching, a Bible-believing ministry. If you're in the Central Florida area, specifically around Cocoa, Brevard County, then you're welcome to come to Christ the King Redemptive Ministries.
Yes.
We'll love you to life, but we'll place a demand on you to grow, to be developed, and be mature in the things of God. Listen, I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and we just want you to remember that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. We'll see you on Thursday at 7 p.m.